Hello, welcome to episode 5 of Kickstart My, a crowdfunding podcast. I'm your host, Andrew McDonald. On this episode, I actually have two guests. Writer and creator, Charles J. Martin, creative director of Literati Press Comics and Novels, a publishing company and bookshop based out of Oklahoma City. And also joining us for this interview is Brandi Williams, co-creator and colorist on the new project, Glamorella's Daughter. Glamorella's Daughter is a book about a girl named Comet, an inquisitive young girl with autism, and her mother who happens to be one of the preeminent superheroes on Earth. As a threat looms from the hero's homeworld, mother and daughter must find a way to overcome their differences and protect the world together. Honestly, in our interview, I was struck by the fact that this story could have been done without a character with autism and still have been the same story. But in talking with Charles, I came to understand how it came about to be a key element in the story, and what I gathered he hoped people would take away from it that could possibly help them, or any of us, quite honestly, in the future, with our own loved ones. As of this episode going live, there should be 16 days to go on their Kickstarter campaign, which is linked in the podcast description. Head to Kickstarter.com and search Glamorella's Daughter, or search for Charles Martin in the search bar. And for more information on his projects, his company, head to Google and search for Literati Press. And now, on with our interview. All right, so I am here with the people behind Glamorella's Daughter. So how about you guys introduce yourselves?
Hi. Go ahead, Charles. I know you're like looking at him like, you're not.
My name is Charles J. Martin. I am the one of the three creators of Glamorella's Daughter. I handle scripting and lettering.
Hi, I'm Brandi Williams. I am the kind of the outliner, the writer development, handling like the plotline, storyline, as well as colorist for Glamorella's Daughter.
Cool. So yeah. For now, anyone who hasn't heard of it yet, seen it on Kickstarter, can you tell us a little about the story?
Glamorella's Daughter is it's based around the mother-daughter relationship between a young inquisitive girl with autism who is the daughter of the world's most powerful superhero, Glamorella. So the daughter is named Comet. So the story really revolves around how their two views of the world and their values are really in opposition, and they still love each other. They still enjoy, you know, they still are, it's a strong family connection, but their outlooks are so diametrically opposed. And it's kind of an exploration of that.
Okay. So a key point that you mentioned in the description for this is that Comet, the daughter of Glamorella, has autism. She's a bit on the spectrum.
Yes.
Explaining the story the way you did, it feels like it would have been easy to just, you know, parents and kids opposing each other because they have different viewpoints on the world. It's an easy story to tell because we've done it. We know it. We've all lived it. Uh-huh. But to go the other way with, you know, a person who fundamentally sees the world differently because of how their brain and the chemistry of all that operates, what made you decide to approach it from that angle?
Well, when Jerry first approached me about the project, he had this figure of Glamorella. He wanted to really get it kind of focused on the daughter, so it's a viewpoint aside from where you would normally fix the a superhero story. Instead of the superhero himself, it's the it's their offspring. And as we talked about what he was thinking about, my middle son is autistic, and I was kind of thinking about the challenges that come with both being the parent of someone with autism and someone with autism being parented by somebody who does not, and how it's hard to bridge that gap. Whenever Joey was young, I did not do enough reading. I wasn't really educating myself. I kind of grew up in that generation where these things weren't spoken of as openly. And we didn't want, you know, we didn't want our son to feel different or feel like an other. And we kind of avoided dealing with it really head on. And it wasn't until later on in his life and me maturing as a parent that I realized my ignorance led me to expect him to live life my way rather than living life his way. And as we talked about Glamorella's daughter in Comet, that was something that really resonated with me, was that kind of was the same situation that Jerry had envisioned in their lifestyle, where Glamorella has this life of pomps and circumstances and action and is very outgoing. And her daughter is very much the opposite, just wants to read all day, kind of wants to do, you know, be kind of left into her shell. And she has, you know, one really close friend, and that's really enough for her. And how that's something that Glamorella just has a hard time understanding. And our inability to really communicate back and forth that my son and I had, that was something that they were experiencing. And I really had not, I wish I had read something that kind of gave me an insight to that shortcoming that I had as a parent earlier, because that would have made both of our lives a lot easier. So that was kind of what I wanted to create.
Gotcha. So I can see clearly now that, you know, this is definitely a fictional story trying to teach something, but it's also a little personal for you, Charles, because it's teaching a lesson that maybe you wish you could have learned faster and sooner. But Brandy, now you're coming in as also a creator, a collaborator, helping with the story development and the colorist. What do you try to bring to the story through your coloring, through your perspective that these guys aren't?
What drew me to this story is the kind of the connection between Glamorella and Comet. My mom is very outgoing herself, so she's kind of a, like, I love her to death, scatterbrained. in a sense where she reminds on everything all the time, and she's very outgoing, to which for me, I am now, but as a kid, I was super shy. I was super, like, okay, we're going to do this, or we're going to try this, and I'm going to take my time with it before I put myself out there. And I really love that that's kind of what Glamorella and Comet have with each other, at least in the beginning. But the arc and where we're going with the story of how they get closer to each other, how her friends kind of adapt in a way or develop in a sense that they start to understand Comet, to me, draws in the story. I really like it a lot. And then the world building as well is kind of what draws me to it, because I love sci-fi and I love kind of like action slice of life mixture. So,
yeah, I mean, you guys call out, you know, kind of Miss Marvel and stuff like that. That's kind of a bit of an inspiration for this. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because it's very much, you know, teen life dealing with the extraordinary at the same time kind of a thing.
Brandy's earlier project, so I'm the creative director of Literati Press, a small publishing company in Oklahoma. Brandy has another comic ongoing with us called The Aislings. And that was one of the reasons that we pulled her in, was because we were struggling a little bit kind of nailing our demographic, that kind of middle grade to YA. That's exactly right in the strike zone that Aislings, you know, she had really nailed. So that was part of the reason that we wanted to bring in Aislings, is this kind of a sci-fi fantasy mixed in with slice of life. So it was kind of just having somebody who was already doing what we were trying to do, and just like, okay, well, this will probably be easier if
So that was my next question, actually. How did the creative process come about? How did your team come together between Jerry, yourselves, to work on this project?
It started with you guys. It started with Charles and Jerry. and Charles told me the story, actually, and asking, like, where we could take it. And then I read through a couple of scripts, and I'm like, yes, I really want to be a part of this. But there's more. What was it? Charles, go ahead.
when we were first starting to bang around scripts, and we did a black and white kind of early version of one and two that was just kind of, you know, we kind of tossed around locally, but we weren't planning on doing a national rollout with it. Brandy was someone that we were talking to earlier about the scripts. And whenever we started talking about doing a national rollout, that was whenever we were like, okay, let's bring Brandy on board. We see this as potentially, you know, being one of those breakout titles that could really resonate on national level. And so we needed to, you know, make our team as strong as it possibly could be. Jerry and I, the first time that we worked together was on a short comic for Literati Presents, which is a anthology of comics and fiction. And we did one on ants, and it was a, you know, it was a really, Jerry is just this fun, gregarious, really, really talented artist, and working with him was a dream. He's just got so much enthusiasm that he makes you love what you're working on. One of the other projects that we're working on through Literati, it's called We Promised Utopia. And that one's coming out a little bit later next year. And that one was our first time to do like a big collaborative effort on a comic book. And that was one of the things that I kind of really learned from that was, man, comics are really, really hard. There's so many moving pieces.
Stressful.
And trying to do it with, you know, one or two people is just, it's a bit much. So that whenever, but with We Promise Utopia, we're rolling with seven people on one comp. And so we were like, you know, this actually, if we brought in, you know, Brandy for this and really beefed up the storytelling, man, we could have something really special. And that's something that Brandy brings that is very unique to her. She has a structured process for understanding plot points, character development, that is much more coherent, maybe. Like, everything works in my head, but I don't really communicate it very well until it comes out on the script. But Brandy's really good at mining everything, figuring out where the gaps are, asking the questions that I'm not asking. So, it's been a powerful collaboration.
Okay. That sounds cool. So I see this is your second Kickstarter, second comic book, I'm guessing, so far?
Yeah, Blackjack Demon. That's by Nick Hermes. He is, so I'm talking an awful lot, so Brandon, tell me to take
your time. You're fine. I'm okay. Nervous. I'm just like, what do I say? So, I'm overthinking in my head.
We have this program called Ink and Draw that we do in our bookshop. Every Sunday from 4 to 6, it's on hiatus because of the pandemic right now, but we'll be restarting again. And comic book creators and would-be and practicing, come in and just do art for a couple hours. And we talk and we look over each other's work. Nick was one of the guys that came in, and he was an oil painter from Santa Fe. Well, he's from Oklahoma, but his work was represented in Santa Fe. And, you know, he'd been really successful, and he just had been doing it for years and years and years, but he'd always loved comic books and decided, you know what? I've been wanting to do a comic book all my life. I'm going to figure out how to do it. So he came in and just brought these wonderful pages in that were, you know, needed to be inked up and, you know, cleaned up a little bit. But man, they were better than, you know, pages that most comic book artists are doing as a finished product. And we're like, man, these are great. Your comic's pretty much already done. He was like, oh no, these are just my thumbnails. What? And so whenever he finally started getting finished pages done, we were just astonished. His just artwork is so beautiful. And that one's kind of a genre busting, kind of weird Western. And that one was fully funded. And the pandemic is kind of throwing all of our scheduling into disarray. So we're still trying to figure out when the actual national rollout is going to be. But we're thinking of maybe punting until the summer and just doing all both the Blackjack Demon, Glamorella's Daughter, and We Promised Utopia, which is like a sci-fi multi-era spanning epic. Just all of the three of those releasing the same month.
Cool.
In the summer.
All right. Sounds good. So outside of the Kickstarter, I'm going to kick it to Brandy. Mm-hmm. You do a lot of illustrations for children's books. You wrote on the Kickstarter that you worked for a company, I guess, Story Pixel and Animation Design. And you've, you know, been inspired by DC Comics and anime. So what, you know, what led to all this, I guess? What started all this off for you?
I've always been into animation since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. So, like, originally my, I guess my path was I really wanted to be a storyboard artist. I still do. And eventually become a show creator for, like, Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network. Mm-hmm. Only because I love the stories that cartoons can convey and that comics can convey. And you can do it in such an imaginative way. So that's kind of what led me to that. And then, like, I don't know, I've taken art classes. My parents were kind of artists for their stress relief, I guess. Mm-hmm. So they would do that on the side for me growing up, and I would just join them sitting on the floor. But, like, by the time, I guess, high school, college is where I started taking it more seriously. A lot of my friends were into anime and manga, and I was getting into, like, a mixture of all of that and getting really into DC Comics as well. And so I would kind of draw on that on the side. And then in college is where I kind of deep dived and started working on my own comics as well. Couldn't afford college, so I ended up having to drop out. But during that process is when I found Literati, is when I met Charles, because I met them at the Paseo Art Show. And originally, my sister had interned first with Literati for as a writer. And I'm like, okay, well, let me try and reach out and see if I can get an internship with them for comic books. And if they ever do something like bring an artist on just to like draw something or like show some writing, because I've done some writing a little bit here and there. But I didn't really do a lot of it, just putting pieces together. And so when Charles first met me, he brought me on with Aveling's, and I was super excited. Like, I was so ready to go, because I had this idea from school about Egyptian mythology that I was just like, okay, let's work on this. We're going to tie in things together and we're going to piece it all together. And kind of that whole entire summer interning with Charles and the Literati team allowed me to learn the comic book process thoroughly. So I got to see like what lettering's about, what inking's about, what story development does. And from there, it kind of like skyrocketed for me where all of these different ideas for different stories happen. I do children's books on the side, but that's based off of my like my art style that I do for fun. Mm-hmm. And it's been going on from there. So like, I guess, I don't know, a story for me now is like, I do a little bit of everything and I enjoy a little bit of everything. It allows me to kind of deep dive and deconstruct characters and to see where they're going, where their starting point is, what they want versus what they need. And I love it. I love that stories from comics and from cartoons can really help kids because it really helped me growing up. So yeah, sorry to ramble, but yeah.
No, it's not a ramble at all. It makes total sense. I mean, I completely understand that. You know, growing up, that's what you watch.
Yeah, we really do believe that Brandy is not going to stay in Oklahoma too long. Her star is on the rise, so we're catching her early.
I'm a workaholic.
She's great. She's a really, really strong storyteller. She's got, she's really good at seeing the entire arc. And the first time I ever met her dad, I met her parents, was at the Aislinn's release party. And she had done some posters for the comic to sell as well. And her dad came up to the register with her mom and spent a good 10-15 minutes trying to haggle me down on the poster of his daughter's comic. It was fantastic.
Ridiculous.
Really fantastic.
Ridiculous.
Pretty funny. Yeah, he's, you know, he wants to get them while they're cheap. And so when she's a star, he knows he didn't spend a lot. He can sell them for more. Yeah. Retirement money. It's not too bad. Exactly.
They have the posters they bought hanging up on the wall in their office.
As they should. As they should. You've got to be proud of your kids' accomplishments. So Charles, I mean, other than, you know, doing this comic book, you're pretty prolific yourself. Looking from your website, you've written several novels and books and short stories. I mean, what was the first thing that made you go, I need to write. And then I guess the first thing that made you go, yes, yes, this proves I'm a writer. I'm a writer now.
My mom had always been hassling me to start writing, because I was a storyteller. I was actually a pretty rampant liar as a child. but I would never lie about anything worthwhile. It would always just be stupid stuff. And it was just my imagination going, and it was hard for me to distinguish. Like, I wanted something to be true because I wanted life to be more interesting. And you know, my parents were just, you know, none of it was meant to actually like try and fool anybody. It was just me embellishing life. And so, you know, writing just felt like homework to me. So I you know, pushed it off and pushed it off and pushed it off. And then finally, I finally wrote something. I was in fifth grade, and it was just a silly like reimagining of like a Greek pantheon of gods, but I made up all new ones. And it was just, you know, I'm sure it's just really dumb and horrifying if I ever ran across it again. But the teacher read it in front of the class, and that was it. I was just like, okay, I'm a writer for the rest of my life now. And like, it never really slowed down for me. I'm an obsessive writer. I'm always writing something. And so I hadn't ever planned on running a publishing company, or let alone a bookstore. But whenever I put out my first book, The Dominant Hand, it went out through a different publisher, and you know, they did fine. But I realized that I could do the same thing, but do it more effectively. And I also knew that there was a lot of writers within Oklahoma that were looking for outlets, and they were telling the same kind of story as I was. So I thought, well, you know, are there ways for us to join forces? So it's not just me with a card table in the middle of a bookstore, but maybe a few ways makes us look a little bit more legitimate. And then I can help writers that are working in the same realm as I am, try and tell the kind of stories that nobody else in Oklahoma is telling, and change the way people perceive the literary community within Oklahoma. And it started small 10 years ago and just got a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. We had this one comic book from Natasha Alterici called Heathen that fell into my lap. We had worked with her on a Literati Presents short story, and it was a Viking story, and I wasn't particularly interested in concept, but I loved her artwork. So I was like, well, I'll take a look at it. And it was fantastic. And as soon as I, you know, read issue one, I realized what we had. So I stepped in as an editor. We did a little bit of cleanup work, but didn't need much, because she's a fantastic artist, but she's an even better storyteller, and released it. And we started out in three comic book shops in Oklahoma City. And within a year, we were in dozens and dozens of comic book shops around the world.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And it was every day me opening up my email and then stuffing 30 to 40 comics a day into envelopes and sending them out into the, you know, to parts unknown. And it was just getting so big that like it had surpassed my ability to keep up with it. So we ended up selling it to Arma, not selling it. We helped Natasha move to a larger publishing company. She went to Vault, and they just continued that growth. They ended up selling the movie rights and the last issue. So the story finally, it was a 12 issue arc, and the last issue came out earlier this year.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was huge. It was Comixology called it the number one independent release of 2016 or 15 or something. So it was just truly out of nowhere, and we just got really lucky. But the thing is, there's so much talent in Oklahoma. We've never really had the platform we deserve. So that's what we're trying to do, is build that platform. We've now got more people, you know, in the mix, not only as creators, but as, you know, in support. We're working on, you know, building more alliances, trying to build the infrastructure we didn't have whenever Heathen fell in our laps. So with Glamorella's Daughter and the Blackjack Demon, and We Promised Utopia, and then whatever other series come our way, if we have that ability to usher it all the way from issue one all the way to, you know, selling the movie rights or whatever success comes that way, then we can transform Oklahoma from being this kind of scrappy, loose collective of comic book creators scattered around the state to being like a hub of comic book creation and you know, be kind of that, you know, the Portland of, you know, the Bible Belt.
Makes sense. Makes
sense. That's the goal.
I mean, that's really cool because, you know, saying it out loud. Yeah. I mean, I live 30 minutes from New York City, which, you know, in America, that's probably the mecca of comic books in some cases, because the big two were always there and you had half a dozen small publishers, you know, in and out of New York City and the surrounding areas forever. But that's kind of awesome to hear that, like, there's a up and coming comic book community in the middle of Oklahoma that's just like creating work that is expanding out and, you know, reaching the world. You know, it's, we definitely need more like that. We need more, obviously, perspectives from different areas and different places. You know, obviously people, but even places, because places shape who we are. So that's really neat. And knowing that you guys now have the infrastructure, well, you know, Brandy might get her dream of working for Nickelodeon.
You know,
the talent here is amazing, honestly. Like, the friends that I've made from going to Literati and from meeting up and the people I've, like, met, it's crazy to see that, like, for me in high school or in middle school, I didn't have that community. I didn't find that until way later, and I'm glad that it's building and growing. So.
That's cool.
Yeah, Kansas City should also be mentioned. They're doing really great work. There's some good stuff going in Austin. So we're not in a complete vacuum in this part of the country.
Yeah.
But that is, you know, there are great people coming out of nowhere. But, man, it certainly helps when you're not in the fight alone. And that's, you know, I grew up feeling like I was in the fight alone. So we don't want the next generation of comic book artists and writers to feel that same way. We want them to be able to have access to, you know, a little bit easier, a couple of stepping stones to help them on their career.
That's cool. That's cool. So to wrap up, I always like to ask a couple personality questions just so people can get an idea of who you guys are outside of, you know, how you came to your career and how your Kickstarter is going. Just little things that kind of tells them something about you that will either make them hate you or love you. We'll see. So if you had to think of a favorite fictional character or a favorite fictional character you would love to be a part of or work on, who would you pick? So we'll give Brandy that one first.
Oh, that's easy. Starfire from Teen Titans. Love her. I love her so much. She's so bubbly. And there's so much you could do with her story, like her backstory. Mm-hmm. And like where she goes as an adult too, from her teenage to adult, I would love to see that. So
that's good. I would love that. How about you, Charles? Doesn't have to be comics; could be anything.
Well, I already have a handy answer already ready. So Jerry and I, years ago, whenever we were first talking about comics as something that we potentially could do together, he asked me what my favorite comic book comic book character was, and I told him Nightcrawler, because I felt like Nightcrawler had the most potential upside, but was also the least utilized. I thought the story of a devout mutant was just fascinating to me, and thought so much could be done with the unique irony of his abilities and the way he looked, but also like how deeply felt his faith was. So we actually did a short run of like, I think it was like a 5-issue script that we were trying to pitch to Marvel, but it didn't end up going anywhere. Cause you know, you're trying to pitch to Marvel, but it was cool, and it would be a fun one to revisit and take another swing at.
That's pretty neat. It's pretty neat. So the Kickstarter is ending in roughly about 20 days. You guys are more than halfway to your goal of, I believe it was $3,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, $3,000. Get the goal, hit the number. What's next after that? Is there still issue to be made, or is it just a matter of then printing and
way more? There's so many. I'm working on deconstructing and reconstructing the scripts and the storyline plotline right now. So with that, there's a lot more to do.
We've budgeted out four issues. So no matter what happens in the next, 6 months, four issues will be completed and released. And then we're going to kind of take a breath, see how everything went, and then go for another four issues. And I don't think we have a final count of how many issues this is going to be. But it's not going to be like a Walking Dead where, 30, trades later, you're finally wrapping up the story. Like, we want this to be a nice, tight story. So the next step after the Kickstarter is figuring out distribution is going to be the big one, because the world right now is so crazy.
That's what everyone says all the time. It's always distribution.
So we're coming up with strategies on how to get comics into people's hands, how to get them into comic book stores. We're wanting to print on a big scale. But I think really the conversations we're going to be having over the next, 3 to 4 months are all going to be, okay, Diamond, self-distribute, what other options are out there? Do we just, throw a bunch in a trunk and just hit every comic book shop we can drive to, or are we trying to get into every comic book shop in New York?
Conventions as well, because the conventions, with everything shutting down, but a lot of stuff being virtual right now, kind of joining all of those too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So that's, I think eventually, once the pandemic is over, we'll hit all, we'll be hitting conventions like you used to. But what the strategy, it's a good story. I think it's a very approachable story. It's very fun. I think there is a lot of possibility out there. This could have a very rich life, but the comic world is also changing. So I think some of this is just going to be us having to, once the pandemic is over and the dust is settled, to see what the new landscape of the comic book industry looks like.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So like I said, to wrap up, if you had a message to the fans, a last thing to say about the project, to just sum it up for everybody, why should they donate to Glamorella's Daughter? Why is this the thing you want to give your money to and help make reality?
It's exciting. There's so much that is going to be going on with Glamorella's Daughter. The storyline is amazing. Honestly, the characters are heartwarming, in my opinion. I say don't miss out. Definitely be a part of it. Follow along with it. There's so much that is going to come from it.
For me, I think I'm really interested right now in storytelling that portrays a really solid, loving family unit still dealing with all of the difficulty complexities that come with having people with different personalities that are in this tight unit, not because they chose to be, but because, that's how biology works. This is your family. You didn't choose them, but you still have, you still love them and have to figure out how to make it work. And I think that's what Glamorella's Daughter is really the core of it is about. It's about this family unit, as flawed as it might be, desperately trying to figure out how to make it work so they can save the world.
Makes sense. All right. Well, Charles, Brandy, thank you so much for talking to me. Like I said, right now as we record this, there's 19 days left. I imagine by the time you guys hear this, there will be at least 2 weeks left still. You can find Glamorella's Daughter at Kickstarter.com. Just search for Glamorella's Daughter, GLAMORELLA'S, Daughter. Or you can look up Literati Press comics and novels on Google, and you'll find plenty more about the Kickstarter and our creators there. So again, thank you guys for taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you for having us.
Good luck on the project, and we will talk to you guys soon. I have a dream, that's all I need. I'll make it happen with some work and belief. Know what I want, so I'll take it on. I've made mistakes, but mistakes make you strong. Let's break it down for a minute. I want the crown, I'm gon' get it. You hear me loud, man, I'm winning. Yeah,
Charlie Sheen will be grinning. These ladies know that I'm sinning, and this is just the beginning. I'm closing in the night, getting there ain't no point in resisting. Living life like a dream, baby, right, that's the thing. Every night got a team, I've been tied to the scene. Out on stage, here on screen, okay, it's a dream. And I pray as a team, one day it'd be me. If I want it, then I get it. Head down, don't regret it. Push myself to the limit. If I play it, then I win it. I'm just saying, I'm just living for today, for a minute. I don't stay, I just lose it. Have no shame, I admit it. They can lie on me to see if I succeed, to see if I believe. They're looking up to me. They want the best of me now, best of me now, best of me now, best of me. They want the best of me now, best of me now, best of me now, best of me.